Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is the gospel lesson, the encounter between Jesus and Peter, which leaves Peter on his knees. So, Sven became a pastor, and in his first congregation, a few weeks out of the sermon, a woman came up to him after the service and said, "You know, I'm basically deaf. I can't hear a word you say, but I come because my church is important to me." Sven looked at her and said, "Well, maybe you haven't missed much." And she replied, "Yeah, that's what they tell me." Life can be very humbling at times, can it not? And we have two examples of humbling today. We saw it in the Old Testament lesson with Isaiah, but we see it now also in the gospel lesson with Peter. Peter is brought to his knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." The proper response to God in his presence. But what brings it about? What brings Peter to his knees? What brings Peter to recognize the holiness of God in his own unrighteousness? Well, that's what we're going to look at today. And we do so because it's an important question. As I said, the coming to the knees, the being humbled is a proper response to God in his presence. And God is present today. So how are we humbled before the Lord? What brings us figuratively or maybe literally to our knees? That's what we're going to examine. Because it's interesting, this isn't Peter's first encounter with Jesus. If you recall, last week, Peter saw Jesus. In fact, Jesus healed his mother-in-law. We're told by Luke that Jesus stood over her, rebuked the fever, and left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. It's an amazing miracle. And no doubt, the family was pleased. They had pleaded with Jesus to help. But you notice, no reaction is recorded. Jesus goes on to heal other people. Certainly there was joy, there was excitement, but no response like we see. Peter wasn't brought to his knees there. So if he wasn't there, what would bring Peter to his knees? And as we witness this miracle, we are to be reminded that miracles take place even today. And what's our response? We have one of the most wonderful miracles that's going to take place in a few moments. You're going to be invited to the Lord's table. And the Lord is going to give of himself, his body and blood, to you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's a beautiful miracle. As you reach out your hand to receive the wafer, you receive the body of Christ. As you open your lips and drink the wine, you receive the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins. How many times in your life have you communed? And how many times have you really stood in awe at that miracle? How often have you really recognized the holiness of God that is coming to you and your unworthiness for it? Again, that was the time that Jesus met with Peter. But there was another time earlier in our text today. We have Jesus asking Peter to help him as he teaches. And again, Jesus needs Peter's help as he goes out of the boat. The boat's not going to stay still. He needs Peter to keep it still, use his talents and skills to help him. But as Peter is keeping the boat still so Jesus can preach, he's hearing the teaching of the Lord. And yet, that didn't bring Jesus to his knees. And again, does the teaching bring Jesus to our knees always? Do we always recognize the holiness of God in his word? So often we take that word. So often we forget what it really is telling us. So often we take it for granted that we don't really even pay attention. Has there ever been a time where you're sitting in church listening to what's being read, and then your mind drift off on what you're going to do this afternoon or what happened last night? Or maybe you already know the account, so you know it so well you don't really have to pay that close attention. How much do we take the word of God for granted? Again, failing to see the holiness and the righteousness of God that is revealed. So what is it that brings Peter to his knees? After teaching, Jesus tells Peter to go out in deeper water and let down his nets. Peter isn't really excited about this. He's not really sure. What experienced fisherman wants some carpenter or rabbi to tell him how to do his job? Peter's the expert, isn't he? And what Jesus is telling him to do goes against everything as an experienced fisherman. No, he knows what is right. But the word and the miracles are taking an effect. Because Peter is willing to do it only because it's Jesus who asks him. And then he lets down his nets, and can you imagine the shock, the amazement, as Peter pulls in the nets, and as the nets start to break, and he realizes what a deep catch of fish he has brought in. He has to signal for other boats to help him to take in all the fish that are caught. Now Peter is on his knees. Now he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It is in this miracle that Peter most clearly sees Jesus is Lord. Who is it that can manipulate the fish into a catch except the one through whom the fish were first called into existence on the fifth day of creation? What man could do this except the one who can tell a fever to go away? He must be the Lord. And not only is his power as Lord on display, but his righteousness is on display. He looks at Jesus with the recognition of his holiness and his power, but he sees his righteousness. He realizes he has all this power, and who does he use it for? Not for himself. And so now Peter is brought to realize his weakness. As this power is on display of Jesus, he realizes just how weak he is. And when he sees the righteousness of Christ, he realizes how unrighteous he is. If you're a fisherman and you had that power to get that fish, wouldn't that be very tempting? How would you use that power? Certainly Peter is amazed that a man with such power would use it for the benefit of others. And in realizing the righteousness of Christ, he also recognizes his own unrighteousness. And as we think about this, this is what brings us about repentance. This is what brings us to our knees. It's in a recognition of the holiness of God and our unrighteousness. But we can't see it on our own. God must bring this about. God is the one who reveals this. God is the one who reveals his righteousness and reveals our unholiness. You see, we don't always recognize the righteousness and holiness of God. We don't fully comprehend what it is that he had to set aside, what he had to give up to be our Savior. We don't fully comprehend the power that is available to him as the one who can reorder creation, who can heal, who can give life, who has this amazing power. And what does he do? He uses it for us. Isn't there the contrast to his righteousness and our righteousness? And isn't this the second problem? Not only do we fail to see the holiness of God and all that he gives up and all that he does for our life and salvation, we fail to see our own unrighteousness. You know, how would you use great power? You might want to say, well, I'm not really sure, but we're pretty sure, right? Because you do have some power, some ability, some talents. How do you use them? What are they focused on? Isn't it not for your benefit, for your pleasure? So if you had great power, how would you use that? You see, the problem is our heart. We don't want to admit or look at or fully understand just how unholy and unrighteous we are. But it's our Lord who brings us to that recognition. Our Lord shows forth his power, and in so doing shows us our lack of power, our weakness. The Lord shows forth his righteousness, and we see our unrighteousness. Because God in his righteousness sets it all aside. Sets all of his holiness aside, becomes man to suffer and to die. Why? For you and for me. Instead of grasping that power and for his own benefit, using it, sets it aside so that he might die and rise for you. And now his righteousness is your righteousness. You see, we see this reflected in the way that Jesus then responds to Peter. After Peter is on his knees, Jesus says to him, "Do not be afraid, for now you will be catching men." Notice there's two parts to this. First, do not be afraid. This is forgiveness. He's telling Peter, there's no reason to fear my holiness and righteousness because I have removed your unrighteousness. You will not be consumed. You are forgiven. You belong to me. And then the second part comes. From now on, you will be catching men. Not only will you not be consumed, not only can you be in my presence, now you're part of my kingdom and I have a role for you. I am calling you to be fishers of men, to share my love and to share my word with others so that all might know my love for them. And the Lord responds the same way for you today. As you again see before our Lord his holiness and righteousness, as you are reminded of your own unrighteousness, all these things that are brought about by God's power and his word, you are cleansed. You are forgiven. I had the privilege of saying that to you today, that you are forgiven by our Lord. And you are invited to his table today to receive that forgiveness, to receive the Christ that loves you, that died for you and rose for you, so that you might be made holy, so that you would be forgiven, so that you would have peace. But understand, this holiness that he offers, this forgiveness that he gives to you, is also preparation. Because he has a role for you in his kingdom. Not only are you forgiven, but you have a place in his kingdom. Where you are, amongst your family, amongst your friends, you also are fishers of men. You are also called to love in word and deed those around you, your community, your family. You also are called to share what you know about Jesus with them as you have the opportunity. You have a place in the family of God. You belong to him. Regardless of how unworthy or unholy we are, he has cleansed us and made us whole. We belong to him. Again, as we think about our life, there are many things that humble us. But we are reminded today that the Lord humbled himself. And he has done it so that he could show to you his love for you. For in his humility, he put on display his righteousness and his holiness. And in his forgiveness to you, he gives that righteousness and holiness to you so that he can lift you up. You, though you are humble, are brought high because of the Lord and his love for you. You belong to him, and his power now is made available to you, on display in you. He does indeed bring us to recognize our unholiness by nature so that we can see his holiness. He does indeed bring us to our knees to recognize his righteousness so that he can fill us with his power so that we can know his love and know it eternally. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.